Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home, so you can understand the Word of God beginning in your own home. Because there's too much of the world that just does not know, does not understand. And it seems as though that every solution in politics turns out wrong. Likewise, in understanding prophecy. For those who study the Bible, you can go back and you can read in commentaries various things concerning how they interpreted it 200 years ago, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, and it hasn't happened. How do you understand prophecy, especially prophecies in the end time? So today we are going to cover how do you understand prophecy. It's the same way you understand the Word of God. They both go hand in hand. So let's come back to the book of Daniel. Now, the book of Daniel is quite a book. And in Daniel, the second chapter, we have prophecy of the end time resulting in the setting up of the kingdom of God. No timetable. We also have in chapter 7 and chapter 8, chapter 9, we have the 70 weeks prophecy concerning the Messiah. Then we come to chapter 11 and chapter 12. And chapter 11 says, at the time of the end, the king of the south shall push at the king of the north. And then that is supposed to set off the beginning of the great tribulation. And how many people have said, oh, the great tribulation is just around the corner. How many people have said Jesus Christ is going to return? The prophecies show, yes, he is. Many, many events that happened look like they're events that happened according to prophecy, and yet they fail. Is it that the Word of God is no good? Or is it that they are lacking the keys to understanding the prophecies? Now, after receiving all of these prophecies, Daniel was told this in Daniel, the 12th chapter. Let's ask the question, are these things happening today, and have they been happening for a protracted period of time? And if so, the longer and the more protracted the period of time means that we are closer to the end. But as we'll see a little later, Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour. We'll see that's very important. But we're also told that we are to know the times and the seasons. So how does that fit in? How do we understand prophecy? Well, let's begin with the Daniel dilemma. He gave all of these fantastic prophecies, which, as we will see a little later, has to be joined with the book of Revelation. Let's begin right here in verse 1. Now, we're going to cover quite a few verses here in chapter 12 so we get the full picture. Because, see, unless we follow the rules of Bible study, get the context before and after, see what it says, properly put it together, precept upon precept, line upon line, and put it together in a proper way, and we will see that, yes, we can understand the prophecies the way God wants us to understand. Now, some are pretty clear. Some are clouded. Some are written in symbolic language that have to be interpreted by other parts of the Bible to make it literal. Now, Daniel 12 and verse 1 is talking about the time of the end in the tribulation, verse 1, and at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stand for the children of your people, the children of Israel. Now, one of the most important things for you to understand concerning how to understand prophecy is this. Where are the descendants of the 10 lost tribes today? Now, we have right online, right at Church at Home, the book Judas Scepter, Joseph Birthright. So you need to download that. And you'd need to read it and study it so you can understand the central focal point of the prophecies of the scripture surround not only the Jews of the tribe of Judah, but the 10 tribes of Israel as well. And you need to understand the fulfilling of the prophecies of the Old Testament, where the 10 tribes of children of Israel are today. And I'll just summarize it for you. We are the United States of America, Great Britain, and Northwestern Europe. But you need to prove it for yourself, so you download that book. Now continuing verse 1, Daniel 12. And there shall be a time of trouble. Now notice the kind of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even until that time. Now you need to think about that, because we are getting closer and closer and closer and closer to the doomsday. Terrible things are going to happen on the earth. And it's always preceded by financial disaster. Now, you keep that in mind. Let's go forward. At that time, that is during the tribulation, your people shall be delivered. Now, these are the ones who are converted. So when it talks about your people, there are two categories of your people. Number one, the house of Judah. Number two, the house of Israel. And let's add a third one to it, the spiritual house of Israel, being the church of God. Those who are the converted ones, the few that have the Holy Spirit of God. Now notice, everyone who shall be found written in the book. Now, what does that mean? That means written in the book of life, because these are the ones who hear the word of God, who act upon it, who repent, who turn to God with all their hearts, mind, and soul, and being, who enter into covenant with God through baptism and faithfully keep his words, faithfully obey him, loving him with all their hearts and mind and soul and being. Those are the ones who have their names written in the book of life. Then he talks about the resurrection. Now, this becomes important for us to understand, because a little later we're going to show that the doctrine of the rapture, believed by millions of people, is wrong, because they believe in the immortality of the soul. And they confuse scriptures because they don't understand that the way to eternal life, as we have covered in 10 steps to enter into the kingdom of God, the final step is the resurrection. Well, let's read it here. Verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, the difference between everlasting life and shame and everlasting contempt is the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. See? They're not both going to be resurrected at the same time, and most people don't understand that. Now, we'll cover that a little bit later, so I just want to mention some things as we go along so you see that the Word of God covers many things without giving us a time period here. As you will see, none of this has a time period. It is event sequence and event understanding, not a time sequence, an event sequence. Continuing, here's what's going to happen to those who are wise. We're going to concentrate on who is spiritually wise to understand the prophecies in the Bible. Now, verse 3. And they who are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they who turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. Now, this means that those who are resurrected in the first resurrection when Christ returns will receive eternal life to glory. Again, notice, It doesn't tell us any time period. It gives the event. Now, this event has many, many other scriptures added to it that give us understanding, which we'll get to at a later time. Let's go forward. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, let's look at this verse a little more here. Many shall run to and fro. Do we have that today? Yes. When did this really start to occur? Not until the advent of the railroad, later cars, later planes, motorcycles and motor scooters and buses and trucks and planes and all of these things going to and fro, going to and fro. Isn't that what we're doing? Now notice what this also does not tell us. It doesn't tell us how long. It doesn't tell us to the degree. But we will learn one thing that's important concerning prophecy, which is this. God always fulfills his prophecy to the nth degree. He does not do the minimum. He does the maximum. So how far? How long will this kind of rapid transportation take place? It's continuing, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Now notice the other part of it. And knowledge shall be increased. Have we had an explosion of knowledge and understanding? Oh, absolutely. Knowledge is doubling now about every 6 months. Now, how far is it going to go? We're not told. Is it ever increasing? Yes, it is. Has man abused this? Yes, he has. Where is it going to end up? Well, we're told that Jesus said, unless these days are limited, there should no flesh be saved. Again, we're not told a time period. We are told the events. So all prophecy is to be understood in sequence of events, and it's event-oriented, and as we will see, also on the framework of the Sabbath and the holy days. Now, we also have another book you can order. You can get it free, which is God's Plan for Mankind Revealed by His Sabbath and Holy Days. And this covers many, many of the prophecies. But let's go on. We're talking about the last days. So then, the question was asked by one of the angels, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders, verse 6? How long? Now remember, Daniel received these in the 4th century B.C. Isn't that amazing? And how long has that been down to our day? Well, about 2,500 years. How long shall these things be? And everyone has wanted to know, but they have never been able to understand. Why? Because too many people are looking for a time period rather than an events sequence. All right, let's go forward. Then we come to something here where the angel who was standing on the waters raised his right and left hand to heaven and said, verse 7, it shall be for a time, times and half a times. What does that tell us? Well, we know from other prophecies that this can be determined from the scriptures that a time is a year, times is 2 years, a half a time is a half a year, so you have 3.5 years. But you also have something else too with this. Are these extended periods of times based upon Jubilee cycle? Could be. But we also know that in the end time, there will be 3.5 years of tribulation. Now, we'll come to that a little bit later. Verse 8, And I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, "Oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" Now, wouldn't you think that such a righteous man as Daniel, who gave all of these prophecies and was so faithful to God, that God would tell him? But he didn't. Notice what was said here. This is why you can go back and read commentaries all you want about how to understand the prophecies that are to be understood at the end time, and you can read their interpretations that they had hundreds of years ago, and those are meaningless, because we will see these prophecies are to be understood at the time of the end. Well, let's read it here. Verse 9. He said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end." Now we're living in the time of the end. So can we understand these prophecies more than ever before? Yes, we can. Do we have 100% understanding of them? Well, not exactly. But can we see the events as they unfold one after the other and see that, yes, we're getting mighty, mighty close, but that we don't have a time sequence, an event sequence? Now, here's a key. Verse 10. "Many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly." Didn't we read about how at the end time that men would be, their wickedness, their sins, their betrayal, their rejection of God, rejection of the truth, following doctrines of demons? Yes, indeed. Even Christianity has fallen victim to it. Why? We'll see a little later. We've already covered that before, but we'll review part of it again as we go along. "The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but..." Now here is a key on how we can realize and learn from the Bible how to understand the event sequence of these prophecies. "But the wise shall understand." Isn't that amazing? Who are the wise? How do we understand? Well, let's look and see what the Bible says, because it says the wise shall understand. Now, there are many different ways we can approach this, but let's approach it from a very basic beginning point so we can build the understanding so that we can know how we can rightly understand the flow of these events and understand the times in which we are living. Let's come to the book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs tells a lot about what it is to be wise and how to be wise. First of all, it doesn't mean those who have a high IQ of native intelligence. Doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean those who are the wise in the world, who have educations, the elite. God says that they have become fools in their knowledge because they have rejected God. So anyone in those categories, they can't understand. So who are the wise? And how do you become wise? And how does God show that we should do it? Proverbs 4 and verse 7. "Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom with all you're getting. Get understanding." How do we do that? Well, we're told right here in the second chapter of the book of Proverbs. See, because the book of Proverbs is the place to begin, as we have covered, to really get grounded into what is truth and error, right and wrong, good and evil, righteousness and wickedness, wisdom or foolishness, understanding or lack of understanding. It tells us right here the basic things, see, because God made our minds to be programmed by thinking, made our minds so fantastic that, yes, with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, our innermost beings are converted. And those are the ones who are wise. Those are the ones who will understand. Now let's come to chapter 2, and we'll spend a little time here in Proverbs, the second chapter, because we will see it's not just like turning on a light switch and, whoop, I have wisdom. Whoop, there's another one. I have understanding. No, it's a process that you have to apply yourself to, and that's why church at home. You need to do this in your own home, where you can study, where you can pray, where you can draw close to God, where you can open up your Bible and read the Word of God and ask God to help you understand, give you wisdom and knowledge. And especially if you do this on the Sabbath and take the Sabbath day every week and keep the Sabbath right in your home, starting Friday night at sundown. Devote yourself to study. Devote yourself to learning. Devote yourself to prayer. And see how your life will begin to change. Now here in Proverbs, the second chapter, let's begin in verse 1. My son, and as we have covered, why were you born? The sonship of God. So this is talking to us as those who will be the sons and daughters of God through the sonship of God. My son, if you will receive my words. Question, will you receive the words of God? Even if it kind of hurts, even if it corrects. See, because the word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword. See, it divides asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you will receive my words, I want you to circle that if in your Bible. Because if is used to give you the conditions that God wants you to understand and what you should do. If you will receive my words, and treasure up my commandments within you. See, it's got to be from the inside out, not from the outside in. Verse 2, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Now notice verse 3, yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. Is that how you look at the Bible? The Bible is the Word of God, His special message to every human being who has a Bible. Now, what about you? Do you have a Bible in your home? Probably do. Have you opened it up and read it and studied it? How about those people who have Bibles in their houses but never opened them? And then comes the time of judgment, and God asks him, well, did you have a Bible in your home? Well, yes, I had one. You know, I sent that to you. No, you didn't. My grandma did. No, I used her to get it to you. But you have it, see. But you didn't read it. You didn't study it. And in the Bible that I sent you, it has all the spiritual wealth that you need for eternal life, which is more than all of the physical wealth in the world, and I send it specially to you. Well, that's how we need to view the Bible. This is how we need to view on how we can come to have the wisdom and understanding necessary to understand prophecy. Now, notice that again. Verse 1, if you will receive my words. Verse 3, if you will cry after knowledge. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. Notice those three ifs. So ask yourself the question, do I want to know about God and understand His word? Yes. Do I want to know about the prophecies of the end time and understand them because I'm living in these days? The answer is yes. So you have to take these three ifs very carefully. Notice what follows. Then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It's the only way you're going to do it. You're not going to do it by going to astrologers. You're not going to do it by listening to false prophets who claim to be true prophets and are not. You're not going to do it because you go to some college or university. You're going to do it because you're seeking after God's way. So this is the beginning of how to understand prophecy. You need to be wise because God said, none of the wicked will understand because they're doing wickedly, breaking God's commandments. But the wise shall understand. So here's how to become wise. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home so you can have church at home, learn and study of the Word of God, and you get out your Bible and you study it as we go along. And then we have many, many things you can download from our website and also our other website, cbcg.org, Christian Biblical Church of God. And we have many sermons there on prophecy. And be sure and listen to the two new ones, Prophecy Being Fulfilled for Today. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.